And I want to request you this morning to turn to the book of Isaiah chapter 6. Isaiah chapter 6. RB, it's good to see you in church. He's been missing church. Can you appreciate God for him making you to church this morning? I don't like the way you're clapping, Bwana. Can you improve your clap, Bwana? Aye. He has been sick for a while, past a month. You know, so for him to make it to church, we thank God for his life. Just like I would thank God for your life if you were sick and you came to church, I would thank God for your life. Can you please thank God that he made it to church? Amen. Isaiah chapter 6 from verse 1. Bible says, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above it stood seraphim, each one had six wings. With two he covered his face, with two he covered his feet, and with two he flew. One cried to another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. Glory." And the posts of the door were shaken by the voice of him who cried out, and the house was filled with smoke. So I said, "Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." Then one of the seraphim flew to me, having in his hand a live coal, which he had taken with the tongs from the altar. And he touched my mouth with it and said, "Behold, this has touched your lips. Your iniquity is taken away and your sin purged." Also, I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send? And who will go for us?" Then I said, "Here am I. Send me." Father, in the name of Jesus the Christ, we thank you this morning. May your name be glorified, Lord. Use me to be your mouthpiece for these few moments I have with your people. Allow me, O God, to do justice to this text before us. Thank you, Father. Be glorified. Let heaven rejoice, and let hell be horrified and terrified this morning. In Jesus' name I pray, somebody shout amen. Amen. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. I have had the privilege of pastoring for many, many years. I finished my Bible college at the age of 24. So basically, you can say there's nothing else I know how to do but to preach. Basically, you can say there's nothing else I know But to pastor, finishing college at 23 meant that I started college when I was 19 or 20. Being a pastor has exposed me to people's lives, what they're going through, the struggles they encounter, the victories they celebrate. I've seen people getting born. I've married people who I saw getting born. I've seen people dying. I have buried people I pastored. I've seen a lot, because, man, I'm in my 50s now. Started work of being used by God that early. I've been to mortuaries looking for bodies of members that were dead and could not be found, were missing. Oh, man, I've been through it all. I have slept in 7-star hotels as I did work. I have slept on the floor in Garissa, in Marsabit. Today I'm sleeping on the floor and a scorpion is walking on my chest because it is so hot and all they could give me is a mat to sleep on. And the only thing I have next to me is a torch just in case there's a snake so I can see it. And the next day I am in London sleeping in a 7-star hotel. So I've learned to abase and I've learned to abound. Hearing stories from people who have been fired. Hearing stories from people who have lost their loved ones. And months later, talking to them, they confess that they have seen the Lord. A widow who has been left by a husband who was providing and protective and a leader and a visionary and was devastated and didn't know if they're ever going to see light at the end of the tunnel again. And you talk to them a year later, their testimony is almost like the same. We have seen the Lord. Orphans that were left to the vicissitudes of life, unprotected, left for death, if you may. You talk to those orphans years later, and they will tell you, we have seen the Lord. It's almost like the same scripts of people who you thought would never make it because of circumstances. And when you talk to them later, they say, God has been good and we have seen the Lord. King Uzziah was a great king. King Uzziah became a king at the age of 16. The mother of King Uzziah was called Jeconiah. The father of King Uzziah was called Amaziah. You read the book of Chronicles, you'll find a hall of kings. And you'll discover that most of them were bad kings. Most of them misled the people. But King Uzziah was a good king. Oh, yes. He reigned for 52 years. He reigned. I would have said he reigned more than Museveni. He reigned for 52 years. He made Judah great. He built towers. The economy was prospering. Uzziah was second to King David or Solomon in prestige and power, prosperity. His armies were great. Read the history of Uzziah. Uzziah fought the Philistines, the Moabites, and kept them at bay as long as he lived. He was a good king. Bible says as long as he sought the Lord in 1 Chronicles chapter 26, the whole chapter is dedicated to this king. The Lord caused him to prosper. He was so prosperous that his nephew, Isaiah, envied him so much, looked upon him so much. Isaiah, growing up, he just wanted to be like the great king Uzziah. Uzziah was a great king. Order was the name of the game when Uzziah was king. Uzziah became so prosperous, but fell victim to pride. The Bible says he became so prosperous that he decided that he will do the work of the priest. Went to the temple, marching in with incense. Forgot his office, for God has offices. Somebody say that with me. God has offices. Can you? I said, shout, don't whisper. God has offices. Oh, that's much better. I want a church that is cooperating. He forgot that he was king, and when he was king, God blessed him, God prospered him, and decided to trespass and get to do what God never called him. Decided to go and try to offer incense. The priests told him, don't do that. He served during the reign, you can call it reign if you want, but Zechariah was the priest. And Zechariah told him, don't do that. Oh, king, don't do that. Stay in your office, king. This is not good for you. You're trespassing. Power got into King Uzziah's head. When I was in school, one of the things I was told is that power corrupts. And then they told me absolute power corrupts absolutely. And then the professor never stopped. He said power needs to be coated, insulated. You need to insulate power. If you don't insulate it, it can cause damage. Uzziah became proud. Thought because God had blessed him so much in the land as king, he now wants to be and do the work of a priest. He was warned. He never listened. Just before he could offer the incense that the priest was supposed to do, no one else had the right to offer incense. No one else, just like no one else, has the right to eat the tithe. No one. Only the priest has the right to eat the tithe. We had a meeting for Robert, was it Friday? And Pastor Wilson was making a joke of how Robert would go and preach in his church and they'll collect the offering. And then after collecting the offering, they would give part of the offering as honorarium, which is a tradition of the church. We give honorariums to priests, all right? And then Pastor Wilson was saying the honorarium we gave Robert, guess what? The next day on Monday, we'd be playing golf and we'd be having lunch of the same honorarium. They would eat the same honorarium. People were laughing at that function. How we eat tithe. Hello? How we eat tithe. Oh, did he say that? Yes, we do. We do. We eat tithe. Me, I have the right to eat tithe. You can blog it if you want. Put it on the blog. Bishop Marathi says he eats tithe. Yes, I do. Put it on the blog. Paul teaching about spiritual blessings we give to, he says we give you spiritual blessings and you give us material blessings. That's what the Bible teaches, unless you can teach me something else. Anyways, that's not my subject. He did the forbidden. Thought in his crazy head that he can do the work of the priests. The priests told him, don't you do it. And before he could do it, the great King Uzziah was struck with leprosy from his head. He started turning white and he had leprosy, which meant he would never go back to that temple even to worship, leave alone to offer the incense he wanted to as a priest. Uzziah the great king, sad commentary is that he died as a leper. He was buried as a leper simply because he could not stay in his office and wanted to overlap and do the work of the priest. Sad commentary. So the Bible says that the day, the year that King Uzziah died, young Isaiah said, is the year I saw the Lord. I saw the Lord. I saw the Lord. I went to the temple. He sought the Lord. And he saw another king. Somebody say another king. Say it properly, please. This morning I'm going to disturb you because I really want you to cooperate. When I say shout, you shout. When I say whisper, you whisper. Can you shout another king? He saw another king. This time it was the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Emmanuel, the Lion of the tribe of Judah. He who was and is to come. He who formed the earths and the heavens with his word, he saw another king. Hallelujah. Bible says, when he went to the temple to seek the Lord, and I'm not saying that you cannot find God anywhere else. You can find God in your house. Yes, you do. You can find God on the road like Paul when he was knocked out of his horse. Yes, you can. But I want you to know that the best place where you can find God is the temple. Somebody say the temple. For the temple is dedicated and sanctified just for the purposes of Jehovah God. For the temple, this is not a disco place, my friend. This is where not where you come and shake your hips, my dear friend. This is where people come and cry to God. This temple that you see right here has been anointed and dedicated to Jehovah. This temple that you see I'm standing here right now has been, sacraments have been put down here. The oil has been poured down here. The name of God, the Father, Son, Son and the Holy Spirit has been mentioned over here. This is a temple. This here is a place where you can come and you can call on him, and he will answer you and show you great and mighty things that you do not know of. Somebody shout hallelujah. Oh yeah, Isaiah went to the temple. When you have crisis like Isaiah did in the time when, by the way, let me say this. There are some things that God removes in your life so that you can see God. Oh, you'll get that revelation soon. There are some things that need to get out of your life. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Let me rephrase it. There are things that block God from you. There are things that block God. And some things, sometimes God has to remove them. And when God removes them, then you're able to see him. Oh yes, maybe it is a car that is blocking your vision. Maybe it's the money that is blocking your vision. Maybe it's a boyfriend that is blocking your vision. Maybe it's a girlfriend that is blocking your vision. I don't know what it is. Maybe it's a piece of land that you got that is blocking your vision. But something, oh, let me ask, who is your King Uzziah? Who is your, now the church is quiet. Yeah. Who is your King Uzziah? So he goes to the temple to seek the Lord. And when he goes to seek the Lord, he sees the Lord of Lords, the God above all gods, the King above all kings, the throne of God, exalted, lifted high, lifted beyond the throne of Uzziah, a throne where you could not reach. Then he sees the train. You ladies understand the importance of a train in your robe when you're getting married, is it? Hello? Ladies, are you there? Tuko pamoja. When you're getting married, I saw the wedding of Prince William. And I'm telling you, man, that train was long. The train. Did you see the train? The train is what is attached to the wedding gown. The train. It was so beautiful. It's the beauty of the wedding gown. Bible says that train filled from the throne, the wedding, the train filled the temple. Temple was 90 feet wide, length, 45 feet length. 14 feet high, filled. The temple, train. It was amazing, to say the least. So when he saw that, he searched his heart. And after searching his heart, seeing God high and lifted up, the train filled the temple, looked at himself and he said, "Whoa! It's me! I am undone." The day you see the glory of God, you will see how filthy you are. The day you see the glory of God, you will understand how undone you are. My father had a friend, and they had come to visit us in our home. And this guy started witnessing to me about Jesus. I think I was in around from 2 there. I was not a bank robber. I was not an armed robber. I was not selling drugs. I was an innocent from 2 boy. I had not murdered anybody. Nothing. Just an innocent from 2 boy. But when this guy started talking to me about Jesus, and I saw myself in the light of Jesus, I wept like a kid. I cried like a kid. I sobbed for hours. For I had seen myself in the light of God. Isaiah saw himself in the light of God. When you see yourself in the light of God, then you can say, how wretched a sinner you are. You can sing like John Newton, amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch, a wretch, a wretch, a wretch like me. Isaiah cried out, woe is me. He had been so undone, didn't even know that he had unclean lips, didn't even know that the crowd he was hanging around was a crowd of people with unclean lips, didn't know that he was hanging with a crowd that was not going anywhere. I didn't know that he was just there, but when he saw himself in the light of God, he cried out, woe is me, for I am undone, and I live among people of unclean lips. He confessed his sins. After confessing his sins, Isaiah, still in the presence of the Lord, began to hear God in a way that he could not hear God before. He was there, but before he could not even hear God. Just in the moment, he had God asking, whom shall go for us? After his tongue has been touched with the tongues from the altar. I don't have time to talk about the altar, because the altar here basically is a type of Jesus Christ who would come and sacrifice his life at the altar. His blood would be shed, and that everybody who is touched by the blood of Jesus Christ, they would be cleansed, and they would sing, there is a river that flows. They would say that there's a river that flows from Emmanuel's vein. Hallelujah. And that when you know there is a river that flows from Emmanuel's vein, whoever it touches, it cleanses. After you have been cleansed, after you have seen the glory of God, after you have seen yourself as you are undone and debauched and a sinner, and now you see yourself cleansed by the blood, you start to hear things. Look at your neighbor and tell them, you'll start to hear things. Hallelujah, you'll start to hear things. Come on, tell them again. Once God has dealt with you, you'll start to hear things. You will hear things you never had before. You will hear God like you've never heard him before, because the channel now is clean, is right, is okay. It has been unblocked. Said, who shall go for us? Meaning all this time, Isaiah was wasting his time. All this time, Isaiah was just lazing around, not hearing the voice of God. Isaiah, all the, oh God, when God comes to you and touches you, you will see the amount of years you wasted. When God comes to you like he should come to you, then you realize all the time you wasted with the wrong people. Oh my God, am I talking to somebody here? You start to see, oh my God, how much time did I waste? I wish I started going to church early. I wish I started to pray early. I wish I dropped that wrong group early, because all I did was to waste my time. Isaiah began to see, my goodness, God, I was wasting my time all this time. And so God asked, who shall go for us? I want to tell you today, God is waiting upon you. Can you shout a bigger amen? Amen? Like you're a really believer. Can you shout a bigger amen? I know you ate breakfast. And even if you didn't, you are not starving. Can you shout a bigger amen? Amen? God is waiting on you. I have come, I woke up this morning with one message. God is waiting on you. And that there are things you'll never wake up to do until you cry, woe is me. For I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell among people of unclean lips. Even the group you deal with, you walk with, are not helping you. They're not helping you. And that it will take for God to separate you, you as an individual, take you out from that group for your destiny to be accomplished and for you to do great and mighty things for God. And for us to hear your name, God will have to remove you from that crowd you went to school with. God will have to remove you from that crowd you grew up with. Oh, come on, am I talking to somebody? God will have to separate you. Somebody shout, separate. And he said, who? I mean, God is asking who. God still has a need for people. God still has a need for people. As God as he is, he's asking, who shall go for us? Who are we going to send this work to be done? Look at your neighbor and tell them, God is still looking for people. When Isaiah heard that clarion call, who shall go for us? When you hear that clarion call, if you're Isaiah, you don't say Jane will go. Hello? You don't say Kamau is there. Eunice is there. Njoroge is there. Omondi is there. When you hear that clarion call, who shall go for us? The answer is, here I am. Send me. Me. Here I am. I spoke all that to tell you, God is waiting for you. Stand up on your feet. Who? Shall go for us? Now that you have seen God's glory, now that you have been purged, purged by the blood of Jesus at the altar, God has sent me to ask, who shall go for him? Who shall go for him? The church is asleep. The church has not seen the glory. like they used to see it before. They're seeing Twitter more than they see glory. They see Facebook more than they see glory. They hear gossip more than they hear God. Who? Partner with God. Who shall partner with God? Who shall go? Who shall go? Who shall go? Who shall go?
When he calls,
who shall go?
I will.
Have you seen the glory? Has he shared his glory? Has he revealed his glory? He's asking who is going for us? Who will go for us? Who will go for us? Oh my God. There's work to be done. People are dying. Are you still going to sit down and do nothing and just be there?